All right, Parshas Mishpatim. The first thing to note is that it's so anticlimactic, seemingly, after Matan Torah, to go into Dinei Mominus. Right, you think that, you know, right after Parshas Yisro, you go into Truma Tetzaveh, start going into Melechas HaMishkan, because, you know, because God came down with the Torah, and now he dwells amongst us as a result of the Torah. But the Torah takes a break and goes Dinei Mominus. Right? Hello, Dovarhu. Something that really needs to be explained. The whole Smichas Aparshis. Right? So the Asher Tosim Bifneim, says Rashi. Amala Kosh Brochu Lumaisha. Lo Talo Daitkal Marshaim Aperak Valacha Bezu Gimu Pai Machia Subrafim Kamishnata. Veni Machiratsi Lavim Tamedor Pirusho. Right? The Kosh was by saying Asher Tosim Lifneim. So it's from the next pshat in Rashi, the halachic pshat, that not going to Arkos, you have to go to Bezdin. I should toss him with Nahum. It's a terrible thing not to go to Bezdin. You know, go to secular court. Yeah. Terrible thing not to have a Bezdin. Right. But I should toss him with Nahum. First, how Derech HaDrush Rashi first takes it. What's that? I should toss him with Nahum. Don't think that when I teach them Torah, I give over what I heard me pick. Bro, just tell them two, three times. Till they could repeat it, you know, Baal Peh, Kamishnasa. No, that's not enough. That's not good enough. Right? But I'm not going to be machich myself to make them understand the Tamei Adover and the Pirusho. Lekach Ne'emar, so therefore the Pasuk says, Asher Tosim, Lifneyem, the place before them. Keshulchan Aruch Umuchan Lechof Ne'adam, like a table that's set and ready to eat before a person. That's a very strange metaphor, right? You know, so Asher Tosim Lifneyem, put it before them, is that they have to like have it clear, like really clear. All right. So what's the mashal for clarity? Keshulchan Aruch Muchan Lecho, like a set table ready to eat.
That's where the Shulchan Aruch comes
from. Yeah. Like I would say, like the sun on a clear day or
that
whatever.
Comes in this Rashi, in this Medrash, that we call it Shulchan Aruch.
I'd assume that, yeah. That yeah. I'd always assume that. But the
comes from this,
right. But like, what is this very strange metaphor? To understand time, to understand it is called like a set table ready to eat. It's a strange. The metaphor is a little bit strange. All right, and as we want to discuss that. All right, and then another thing is that when we come to the end of the parasha. Right, we have a whole other account of Matan Torah, and if not for Rashi pointing out that this is talking about Matan Torah, you would think it was a whole different event because it's described so much more laid back than as the event is described in last week's parsha in Parsha Yisrael. Last week's parsha was the Koilus and the Brokim, Vayaram Vayanu Vayamdu Merachok, and over here like it's a party. They look at God and they're eating and they're drinking. Rashi tells us from Chazal that it's another account of Matan Torah that looks totally different. They're more laid back. They're eating and drinking, right? There's no Vayamdu Merachok. Right? And not only that, what's even more interesting, everyone knows, you know, the how much Chazal Darshan, Am Yisrael's Magdim Nase L'Nishma. Kosher Dibur Hashem Nase, they said Nase before Nishma, like the Malachim. Where's that Pasuk, Kosher Dibur Hashem Nase L'Nishma? Where is it?
That's in the second one.
That's right. Right, the face, Nase V'Nishma is not in Parshas Yisrael. Famous Nase V'Nishma is in this week's Parsha. Right, in the second account of Matan Torah,
they told you you have to put it in like a shofar. So they set the table and they started to eat.
Yeah.
They figured,
Wow. Well, you're not far off from Tzvi.
It was a metaphor.
Yeah.
I thought it was
very literal.
Well, like Rashi Taka learns that they there was a time on them that they were literally eating and drinking. Rashi Taka learns that way. Yeah, but the famous pasuk of Akasha Dibar Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma is in this week's parsha. It's not in Parshas Yisrael. In Parshas Yisrael, we have Akasha Dibar Hashem Naaseh that they said 2 days earlier. They first said Akasha Dibar Hashem Naaseh, then Moshe returned it. And on Erev Shavuos, which that's the account in this week's parsha, the whole story of Erev Shavuos is in Parshas Mishpatim with the Sefer HaBris, and they made with the Chatzi Adam, you know, Bamizbeh, Chatzi Adam Ba'aganos, Vishchus Nar Yisrael, the whole ritual that happened on Erev Shavuos, there they said, Kosher Divrei Hashem, Naase V'Nishma, that belongs to the Parshas Mishpatim Dika account of Matan Torah. Right? So we have to understand that. The famous Naase V'Nishma belongs to this other version of Matan Torah. Right? So, try to understand this a little bit. The all these inyanim, right? The a very interesting phenomenon about Dine Mominus, right? Which is the bulk of Parshas Mishpatim. What's called Mishpatim, which is all the Dine Mominus, civil law. That if not, even if the Torah would have not commanded us, we would have legislated it ourselves. Right? There's a certain amkus, right, to the whole mahus, right, the whole mahus of Dine Mominus. The very fact that as opposed to America, there's separation of church and state, right. That you would have thought, Hayo'ola al-Adas, that that's the better way to govern, religion l'chud, right, and civil law l'chud, right? You might have thought, civil law will take care of ourselves, right? What is the raw and basic significance, right, of the fact that there is such a thing as Dine Mominus, that the Torah itself didn't leave civility up to Adam to decide for himself. All right? So now...
Especially since we have a concept of Hefkemes and Hefkes, which undoes almost everything else.
Right. So what's Pshat now? Right, so now one could argue on a simplistic level, and this, some of the Rishonim say this, that, if you leave civil law up to Bnei Adam to legislate themselves, so even though Chazal say about Mishpatim, that even if they would not have been Nitztaveh, we would have legislated them ourselves, but it doesn't mean we would have come to the exact same conclusion. All right? And it could be that the Pesach won't be absolute truth. It'll be approximate because, what seems fair. So maybe you could get the general kivun, the general direction of what's fair, but to get it down exact, right? Like what we have in this week's parsha, the Arba Avos Nezikin. Would you really, would Al-Pisechel, you would pater Kalim in a boar, you would pater Tomun Be'esh, all these things that the Arba Avos Nezikin, they have their loopholes. You would have never thought of that yourself. Right? That you still need the Torah to give it to you down to the nano detail, so you could be sure that when you're mechayev someone, it's a din emes. Right? Right? We could say that, and that's true. That Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted that kol ma'aseinu should be emes, emes lamito, and only God knows all the details, and only God could give you a law that you could be assured is emes, always, all the time. Right. You could say that.
You tamper a whole lot with it.
Okay. I mean, hopefully within the guidelines that the Torah meant for us to do it. But and that's true. But it goes a lot deeper than that. It's not just Stam that the Torah gave us mishpatim, right? To make sure that the civil law will be MS and no one will be ripped off, because maybe if we leave it up to our own, we'll only get it approximately, right? And now it's meduyak, down to the nano detail. It goes a lot deeper than that, right? It's a difference in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Because the way it is with the other religions, or within a separation of church and state. So it's kipshutai, separation. God only, you're with God only on weekends. You go to the house of worship.
There's nothing in the Constitution that uses the word separation. Constitution said, by the way, that word does not exist.
It's a myth?
No, it was founded.
That was Jefferson's.
It was founded totally separate. It was founded separate from religion. It was founded purely upon state. It had nothing to do with religion. That's what they say.
No, but it's in the Constitution.
It's not a Catholic document. It's not a religious document.
But it doesn't use the word separation of church and state. It only says that the Congress shall establish no religion.
Right.
It says Congress shall make no law.
It's separate by itself.
Congress shall make no law establishing a religion and to prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's all it says. It doesn't say anything about separation of church and state. The word separation of church and state appears in a document by Jefferson when he's just discussing the ideas and it was purposely not used to separate. It's only the Supreme Court that's been using it.
Okay, and there you go.
Supreme Court has been using the term separation of church and state. It wasn't even originally thought of as a separation of church and state.
That's what I'm saying. It had nothing to do with religion.
It's just that the state cannot establish any particular religion, it can prevent you.
It's passive.
But this whole idea about the public marketplace, you can't exhibit religion, all that's contrary. It's really contrary to the original intent, which is that you should have the absolute ability to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for pointing out that at least the founding fathers, you know, had it more straight than they have it today. No, but this is the point, right, that the separation of church and state is that, you know, Reb Rosham is only your king on weekends, right? You know, your Shachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's only partial and not absolute and all-encompassing. Not absolute and all-encompassing.
Do other religions have Mamonis in their laws?
So I can't tell you.
They don't even have religion in their laws. There's nothing. Tell me what.
I know Christianity does not have Mamonis.
They don't
have Mamonis. They talk about Chesed. You know, Islam.
Islam has Mamonis. Eye for an eye is literal.
Only what they copied off us.
Yeah. Okay.
They have Sharia law. What they call Sharia law, which is you chop off heads, you chop off hands. That's all I know about Sharia.
They do hand for hand,
you
right?
You stone people. Huh. Yeah, but they took it literally from the Bible.
Yeah. Okay. Now, many religions don't have a civil law.
Okay.
Right, so it's not. And the Torah wasn't that way. The Torah looked at all our inyonim, our social and political, and gave us programming for everything. Right? And why? That we should be kosher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in absolutely everything that we do. Right? And as the Davar Nifla mode, this comes even before Melechas HaMishkan. Right? Haya ole ala das, chas v'shalom, that since the Shechina is confined, I mean, there's a machlokas v'sharm, you know, there would have been a Mishkan, if not for Cheda Egel or not. But ech shelo yeh, you know, let's say, you know, Gora Machet, you know, or say, even though Gora Machet, and now the Shechina is in a cordoned off area, right? And that's like the one place where there's holy space in the Mishkan, right? And the Shechina is Nizgala there, not out of there. Hayol al-Das, right? That, you know, so the Shechina, right? Right? You know, our connection to the Shechina is partial and limited, right? And we, by and large, live outside of the Shechina. We live in Machane Yisrael, not in Machane Shechina, right? Hayol, you're not living with God. Comes the lesson, right, of Mishpatim, immediately after Matan Torah. No. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, you know, and Torah came down, and Torah was chal on you, it means you live with God all the time. You live with God all the time, right? And you're kosher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything that you do. And the fact that the Shechina is only in this gala within a Mishkan, that is, don't take out from that, that's the only place where the Shechina is. And if you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not in the Mishkan, you're not with God. No. You're with God, right? Wherever you are and whatever you do, even in your business, even everything in your most earthly pursuits and your civil, you know, you're doing the same stuff that Umos Olam do, business and contracts, and except by us, the Ribono Shel Olam is with us even in that. Even in our pragmatic things that we have seemingly the same as the Umos Olam, you know, commerce and monetary law and everything else, or our civil endeavors, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And that's Niflam Ma'od, right? One of the Ikar Mekairos of not teaching a guy Torah from the Pasuk U'mishpatim Bal Yedom. They don't have Mishpatim. Don't teach them the Mishpatim. It's godless, right? That part of becoming the chosen people is not, we're not partially chosen. We're absolutely chosen. We're with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and different from the Goyim in everything. Now let's flash back to a Rashi, way back way, in Parshas Vayera. Vayera Elav Hashem. Vu Yoshev Pesach Ol Kachom Hayom. Yoshev Ksiv, Bikesh Lamod. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Shave. Vani Omeid, and it's a simen lebanecha for the Dayonim. They sit bedin vani omeid b'fnei. Shnema okim nitzav bad askel. It's niflam Ma'od. Yes, why there? He's recovering from bris mila. Right? And there's a remez to the Dayonim. And that the Shechina's there. So even though Shechina's not revealed the same way it is in the Mishkan, but the Shechina's there. When the Dayonim say, Dine Momres, and you conduct your civil affairs, Alpi Dintar, the Shechina's there. Right? He's standing amongst the Dayonim. Right? And that was Nizgala. After that was the first Gilui after Bris Mila, right? After Vayera Lav Hashem, because Kayadua, the meaning of Bris Mila is that, you know, God is even in our flesh, right? We're not just Kosher Takar Shvuho in our mind, even in our flesh, we have an Ois in our flesh that we belong to God. We're branded and connected, right? And that's the famous other Gemara, Dar Melchus in the Merchatz. He can't do mitzvahs. He felt he was Orum in a mitzvahs. Felt naked. Nizkar Bamila, that's the end of Bris Mila. You're always connected. And that's the end of Mishpatim. You're always connected to God. Right? You're always connected. But Kol Ma'aseinu, Kol Inyaneinu. So that's why by the Gili of Bris Mila, that, you know, even the Guf of an Adam, Shalom Midaitos, Kosher Takosh Baruch Hu. So over there is a remez to the Mishpatim. Right? That the Mishpatim makes it that we're Kosher Takosh Baruch Hu in everything that we do. But it goes one step deeper than that, right? As a Duff and Nifmo, to understand, something that we can observe, right? In the lumdus of Dine Mominus, right? That we know Kaidot Nezikin, that's where the action is. Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. It's all the Geshmak alumdus, all the Chakiras. There's a lot of Svara there, a lot of Svara. More than all the other dinim of the Torah, in lulav, or there's not much room for svara, because it's a ritual. It's got its halachas, and the same thing basically in all the other areas of Torah. There's no other area of Torah which svara plays such a strong role. Matter of fact, the whole Baba Basra's kimat all kulo svara. Very little learned out of Pesukim over there. Very little. Very, very little. Right? So you have to take a look. Torah's coming down from heaven to earth. Where did it stop? Right? Now, if the Torah would have only spoken about, Kochim, Taurus, and what have Mayed, rituals and Avodah, right? That means that Torah would have not fully have come down, right? So Torah would have stopped here at the head. That when we think holy thoughts, that's when we're connected. It means that as our Torah coming down from Shemaim, it stopped at head level, or at the tip of your head, right? The fact that Torah came down and was mitzaveh on Dine Mamre, so Mamre's civil affairs, even what to do with your shor. Like this week's part of what to do with the shor mu'ot, that means that the Torah came down even further, right? To permeate, right? Everything that we do. It means it just shows though diach kocha ad kama the Torah was yored from Shemaim to Oretz, that it was mamish yored to all inyone artzias. You know what that means? Also klape the human being, right? That means since the Torah was yored to such an extent that it even came down to address, right, the our most mundane aspects of life. That means that the Torah became more accessible. It came down to a lower place, right? Right, and that's the gift why we can understand Torah. Torah should just be kol kulo chukim. It's a ritual. Why does it work? I don't know. Right? It's a mitzvah. Why does it work? I don't know. Right? You know, the fact that you know we're soiver svara, we could feel the my timer. Mipnei mamra Torah. My timer. Tame adover. We'll get back to that in a second. Tame adover. You know what that comes from? Like Haya Ola Odas, that we should just obey Torah, but not understand kihuzeh of it. Because it's from Shemayim. You know, it's Mipia Gvura, who's infinite. The Malachim want the Torah for themselves. It means it comes from a higher place than the Olam HaMalachim. So Haya Mistaber, that Torah should just be dictates that we don't understand. But we understand it. Because Torah Mamash came all the way down. It was mispashet. It extended itself, Mamash, onto the human, onto the field of where human intelligence reaches. So the fact that it was yoreid all the way down to Dine Mamanis is also produces a function that's why we have a strong tfis in Torah. We could daher. And Dine Mamanis is dafka, the place where we daher the most. Because Mamish came down to our inyanim, and coming down to that extent made it put it on par with where our mind reaches, right? And that's why both in klali we have the ability to be sever svara in all inyanei Torah, right? But more so in dine mominus than all the other areas, and because the dine mominus is. That the Torah came down to talk about Inyonei HaAdam, since it was nispashet to the realm called Inyonei HaAdam, that's why Adam has a tfisa in it. And our ikur tfisa is mikoch the dinei mamnes. And that's what the Gemara says, harotze lachkim yasuk b'dinei mamnes. Right? You want to be wise? Start with dinei mamnes. Right? So, want to be wise. So now, it means that it's the petach to all wisdom. And maybe it's not a coincidence that originally Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra were all one big mesechta called Meseches Nezikin. It got divided up. First, middle, end. Kama, Metzia, Basra. But what's the word Baba? Gate. It's a gateway. Through Dine Mamris, that's a gateway to climb into Chochmas HaTorah. It was Yoreid Ad Ledas HaAdam by being Nislabish in Dine Mamris.
It doesn't mean Baba Maisa, it doesn't mean what you think it means. It's not Grandmother Maisa. Baba Maisa is rooted in a whole different word. It's not even a Hebrew word, Baba. Baba is some sort of a Russian word or something.
Really?
Yeah, I once heard a discussion from a linguist.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, because in Ivrit, they translate literally, Sipure Safta.
Yeah, because everybody thinks that's what Baba means, but it's not.
That's all.
It's also Baba Maisa at all.
That's very interesting. All right, but...
you don't have to believe me, though, but it depends on everybody. Nobody will believe you if you tell them, but I'm telling you, I heard it from a Yiddishist.
Yiddishist, wow. Mm-hmm.
There was a word. And it had to do with storytelling.
Like a liar or
whatever. Storytelling, exaggeration, storytelling, that kind of stuff.
Psst. Yeah, amazing. Anyway, but I'll call it in. It is the Harotze Lachkim. So already the Chassam Sofer says in the name of his Rebbe, the Hafla, right? Lachkim, right? What's Chochmah? So the Gemara says in Shabbos, V'emus techa choshuas Chochmah v'das, they darshan on the Shisha Sidre Mushla. Yeah, Emunas Roim. Itecha Mayed, right? Choysen Noshim. Yeshuas Nezikin. Chochma is Kochim. Kachem already is very, very abstract. You know, Karbonis with that, and then, you know, and also in Yoni Kedusha, you're not dealing with anything earthy, like Bishlam Azroim, okay? Agriculture, right? Moed, right? Rituals, not hard, right? Kachem already gets very abstract, you know. Kedusha. Kedusha is a non-tangible thing. Chalois Kedusha. Right? The whole Inyoni Kachim. Right? Harotze Lachkim, says the Chasam Sofer, name of the Hafloa. You want to be able to chap Kachim? Yasuk B'dinei Mamas. Dinei Mamas is the shar to get in. That's the portal. Because that's where Torah meets human intelligence, is in Dinei Mamas. And you could grab onto that. And that could be the portal to climb weiter in Chachma Sator, Lachkim, to understand Kachim. Through the Dinei Mamanis, you could use it as a stepping stone. That's the bridge between Torah and human intelligence, that the Torah was Yoreid ad lemadregas Chachmas Adam, even though it's Torah, not Chachmas Adam, but it went down to a parallel level, and that way you could grab on, and it could be the gateway, that from that Achiza that we have through the Dinei Mamanis, you could climb to the Chachmas Torah. Gemara says, "Hamaskilim yaziu kisar rakia zed dain shadon din emes lamito." And kaidur, that pasuk is the opening pasuk of the Zohar. "Hamaskilim yaskilu yaziru kisar rakia." That's why it's called Sefer HaZohar, because it opens with that pasuk, you know, one part. That's all talking about those who are isak inside, and it's really hainu hach. Our koach daher side, the stepping stone is dinei mamonis. So it's not just that the Torah came to be makif all in Yoneinu, that we should be mukaf with Ratz Hashem, everything that we do. By coming down to be makif kol Yoneinu, that gave us a base achiza on the Torah, that from that base achiza, from that handle, that handle is the beginning and our portal to enter, and mikoch that we can even climb in daher side. But if we wouldn't have been yored to the madrig of Dinei Mamanis, besides the fact that our relationship with God would be partial, but it would be a chisor in the hispashtus of the Torah have not extended fully towards us, we wouldn't be able to grasp it, you know, in its premius.
I think there's another reason why we understand Dinei Mamanis, is because it's all practical stuff, that man has the capacity even to develop its own legislation. These are things that we understand ownership, we understand. Maybe it comes to source to Torah. I don't know. Maybe.
No, I'm just saying. No. The fact that Torah was nislabish.
Man, there are many cultures that didn't understand that there was anything as property ownership. There was no property ownership. Indians were nomads. Land belonged to everybody. And you moved from place to place. There was no husbandry among the Indians. They were hunters. They looked like very primitive men. They didn't have such concepts. We do have those concepts, but civilized society already developed those concepts, didn't they? Parallel to us, concept of land and deeds and theft and all those things we could understand because we live with that. Right. We live with even non-Torah concepts, similar non-Torah concepts. I mean, you call it a Beis Achiza. I don't know if it's a Beis Achiza because it's a gift to us. It's basically so because it's something that we live with.
But it means that the Torah came down to that level that's on par with us, and that caused a certain congruence, which we use to grab on. And once you grab on, you could climb, use as a stepping stone to climb to the other Inyanei Torah of Kachim, Taras, and Soid.
So, do we understand those areas, Kachim, Taras, and Soid? Better because
only because, in, because only because dinner. Only because of Dinei Mamanis.
If it was given just
only because of Dinei Mamanis,
you wouldn't be able to understand those things. It was given to us. Why?
It would be dictates. Stam. Mm-hmm. Dictates. Right. Right. So
you're saying the same principles apply.
I mean, I relate. We relate.
You think that you could obey, carry out the tzivuim robotically without.
Right.
Without chopping and without understanding why and without getting any geschmack from it.
We relate more to the Torah because of Mamanis.
That's right. It's also a stepping stone. Right? And that's why this is the most immediate thing after Matan Torah. To lo dia kocha de Matan Torah ad hechon advarim higiu, that when God gave the Torah, he really gave it. He gave it ad asof. The Torah was yored umispashet. Lekol in yonei adam, and it makes a difference to the adam also. Right? That this is what makes the adam be able to chap and appreciate Torah. Now, when you understand something...
So where in that sense the difference would this be included in the signal? Because the signal is to the name of Nefesh.
Right.
There's nothing in that sense the difference that even inserted the dear mamas.
Well, you know, one could say that, you know, well, losisa, you know, and, I mean, you know, it's alluded to. I mean, all the Tariq mitzvahs are alluded to in the Aseret HaDibros, really. All the Rishonim agree that these Aseret HaDibros.
I guess if it was Geneva, if it was property, I would say that that includes all the Amonis, because the Amonis, that's what it's about. What belongs to you, what belongs to this. If you take something that doesn't belong to you, that would be Geneva. So that would be all of Dini Mamnas, all of Hashem Mishpat would revolve around Geneva, right? Because you don't pass Geneva, it belongs to you.
Okay, no, it could be Alder Chadrush, it does, because we know Alder Chadrush, the Aseres HaDvarim allude to all Taryag Mitzvahs. Right. But, so this is the reason why we have Dini Mamnas immediately after Matan Torah, to show the koach of Matan Torah. The Mamish gave the Torah, Mamish. Like just like Haaretz Nasan Levnei Adam gave us the land, you know, V'kivshua. So, like Haaretz Nasan Levnei Adam, that was also, they gave us Matan Torah, Mamish, Nasan Levnei Adam, Mamish. And it came down to the Artzius. And that's, and Mamish goes, Nasan, we could Mamish chap it. Right? What's the geschmack of understanding something? What would you liken that geschmack to?
Eating a good steak.
Yes.
Satisfying.
So explain. Stomach. Let me explain to you why. So let me explain to you why.
Well, you
I'm not sure.
So let me explain to you why. Right?
It's even better sometimes. Because. Doesn't gain any weight from it.
All right. To understand something is that you have it in your head. Right. It was external event. You internalized it. So let's take a look at the five senses that we have, right? Which are seeing, hearing, smelling, right? Touch and taste, right? By four out of five of the senses, there's still, you know, the external remains external and the internal remains internal. Seeing, you know, I see what's outside of me. I hear what's going on around me. I smell. What's going on, right? You know, all these things are measuring what's the stimulus that's coming in from the outside, but the outside is on the outside. And this is like, you know, readings that you're getting from the outside world. Even the sense of touch, right? So you make contact, but the thing that I'm feeling is on the outside. My fingers are on the inside. It's just where out meets in, but out stays out and in stays in. Just out has met in. That's touch. So touch is even closer, right, than seeing, hearing, and smelling. But then there's taste. When do you taste something? When it's in you. You could try this, you know, try to taste something with your tongue by sticking your tongue out, but don't put your tongue back in your mouth. Touch your tongue without withdrawing it into your mouth to anything. Something salty, something sweet. Right. Yeah, go ahead. Right, experiment right here. You won't be able to taste it until you withdraw it to your mouth. You won't be able to taste it until you put it into your mouth again.
You need a good ice cream.
I do taste it, but it's not an ice cream schmack.
You don't really taste it.
You want to?
What? No, you don't really. If you.
I do taste it.
If you leave, don't put your tongue back in the mouth. Uh-huh. Don't put.
I feel like I'm not tasting it.
You feel the texture. You're deceiving yourself. Your mind is filling in the blanks. That's I just bumped into the chocolate chip.
I'm not getting the full flavor, but
you don't really taste it.
It's like it's as if you're holding your nose.
Mm-hmm. It's like that's it. It's more like smelling. It's right. Not taste until it's in your mouth. Yeah, you can use the tongue like a nose, as it were. Right.
Right.
Right? The geschmack of taste is from internalizing it. That's the geshmak of taste, when it becomes one with you. That's the unique geshmak of the of internalization.
And swallowing it.
Right.
Let's go cook, you
know? Right.
There you go.
Right. It's the internalization. You don't really taste something until it's in the mouth. In the mouth. Even the geshmak is not even finished until you swallow. Because things you taste in the beginning of the tongue, the taste buds are different throughout the tongue. It's the geshmak of internalizing.
Genius of creation.
Right? No, that's the geshmak of tam. Right? So when the Gemara asks, my timer. Right, my timer. Right, lavinam tame hadavar keshulchan aruch muchan lechol. Right, that tam to understand to chap the tam is to internalize it, Yichap the omek hadavar, that this sichlius is now in your seichel. It's not external. It's this sichlius is in your seichel, and you feel it and you appreciate it. That's called tam. That's called that you attain the my timer. When the Gemara says, before it says my timer, it says the dibur, right? Just the statement, the dictate. Maybe you want to know, I want to appreciate it more, my timer. And that's the geshmak of internalizing. Right? And that's what it says. So going back to, and this is all said by dinei mominus, that by asher tasim with them, dinei mominus, right? The dinamos is the gili for a klal for kol darkei Torah, that the Rebbe has to not just say the din, but also lavinam tame adavar. But the makor is by dinei mominus, because dinei mominus made it that way, because dinei mominus reflects that the phenomenon of the Torah was yoreid to the point that it's on par with the asa adam, and you could chop it. You could internalize it. You could. Right, so asher tassim b'fnei the mishela mishpatim. Asher because there's mishpatim, because the Torah was yoreid until the darga of sechel and noishes, it extended itself up to there. So therefore, asher tassim it could be mamish. They could not just obey the dictates robotically, but they could be lavinam tam adavar. They could have tam in it. They understand the my timer keshulchan aruch muchan lechol. They can mamish internalize the Torah. That the Torah, Sakai, Dine, Maz, is that the Torah could be internalized within the Adam. Right? As Keshuchan Aruch Muchan Lecho. Right? Tame Adover. Right? That's a tremendous gil of Mishpatim. Right? So, there's something else that's called the Tam. Musical notes. The Tamim, the trop, called the Tamim. Right? So Nefesh HaChaim talks about this in Shaar Beis. And he says, to explain, why do musical movements, there's the nikud, to say the word, and then how you hummed, how you cantillate the word, right? That's called tamim. So Nefesh HaChaim says a beautiful word. He says, you knock on someone's door, right, at 3 a.m. So, I'm having coffee now, I'm out of milk. You have some milk. So now the guy is, he's shocked and appalled. You'll wake him up in the middle of the night, for a cup of milk. Right? But, he speaks the language of diplomacy. And he says, I want to tell you something. I am really glad that you came now. I was just waiting for someone. I couldn't even go to sleep. I was just waiting for someone to knock on my door and ask me for milk. Now that you knocked on my door and asked for that, now I could go to sleep. Get it? The guy comes back the next night and knocks on the door again. He said it was okay. He said you don't go to sleep until someone asks you for milk at 3 a.m.
My name is Fink, and what do you think? I sell shoes for nothing. I sell shirts for nothing.
Right. What was the guy supposed to chop?
I'm not old enough to know this joke.
Right. What was the guy supposed to,
I'm too nice to tell you off.
But how are you supposed to understand that the guy doesn't really mean the literal, what he literally said? He literally said he was just waiting for me to come, and I'm just so glad you...
He exaggerated.
How are you supposed to chop that?
From the tone.
Tone. From the tom. He said it's bitterly, angrily, cynically. Mm-hmm. What? So, like, you know, what's a person really thinking? If the guy says nice words, good to see you, right? Right? So, yes, yeah, so you have a stira. You have the tone versus the actual words said. Of course, you know, he really means the tone, the seichel hanister, the words nefesh. What he's really thinking, bo mekalev, comes across in the tone. In the tone. And that's the pshat. That's also the omek of the end of the ta'amim. The Torah has to be sung. And it's called the shira. Shira azos. Because Torah has seichel in its sichus. It's even above the words. Right? There's the amount of information that's conveyed by the words. But then there's additional information that's conveyed by the nuance, and which is the oimek ha-machshava. And that's why the musical movement is called ta'amim. It's from the madrega called maitaima. There's the din, and then there's the maitaima, what's the seichel behind the din. And that's also the relationship between dibur and koil. The dibur and the ta'amim. Right? Right? It's a ta'amei teira. So the ta'amim that there are in the Sefer Torah are parallel to the idea of ta'amei Torah, that there's omek even above the words. The words are just like the chitzonius of it. There's like bepnimius, a lot more depth. Like what you're thinking really, really in your heart is nizgala through the tone of how you said what you're saying, more than the words. As I don't know if you're angry, if you're happy, you know, being serious, being cynical, you hear that in the tone. All right? That's what lumdus really is. You know, the lumdus that we is really listening for the tone of the words. That's what it means. You know, the Rishon says something, and we're medayik, and we say, so he must hold like this side of the chakira. But he didn't say those words. No, he doesn't say those words. I hear it in the tone of how he said it. I hear it in the tone. That's what lumdus unlocks. The lumdus is a gili of the koil of Tyra, the tamei Tyra.
Is that always clear or it's misconstrued? Because a lot of times tone can be misinterpreted.
Yeah, I mean it's a very very good. And it was Yaakov.
Right. Was because he said it in a way that Yaakov would say it. Not because the voice sounded like it.
Yeah. I'm saying when it comes to the teachings of Torah, is it clear? Is it or there?
I mean, well, it takes work. It takes a lot of work, but that's a.
There's only one answer, right? There's only one teaching. Is my question?
No, not necessarily. But I'm saying there's either the koil, it's the oimek ha-machshava that's behind the dibur, and we try when we're medayik to hear the koil that's between the words.
So smichas included in this koil?
What?
Smichas parashas, is that included in
All the drushas are unlocking the unobvious, the non-obvious thing that you wouldn't see in the words themselves, right? All the darkia drush.
It's called gloss. Gloss. Like the constitution is a constitution, and then it's the gloss, judicial gloss. The judicial gloss is how they interpret it. What they think it means, what they think it really meant to convey, that's the gloss. Not in the words. It's in the flow.
Right.
What they invent. Really what they're inventing. But once they invent it, it becomes part of the text. A right of privacy, for example. Where does that come from? There's no right of privacy. But they read it. Right. And that's the judicial gloss. They read it in the what is a lawyer.
That's good. Glosses. Don't you wish you had him as a law professor? He probably explains it better.
Great mentor.
Yeah.
I don't need a professor. Yeah. So this works.
Right. Yeah, it's a very good. The gloss, right? We call it lumdus. You know, the maitaima. That's the koil that's behind the dibur. Right? Right. The omek ha-machshava. So that's why also that's called tam. And we're going to get back to that in just a second. Kayadua. Right? Right? Torah, you have to learn be'ema v'yir b'resas u'v'zeah. Like the way it was given, because Am Yisrael was in fear at the time of Matan Torah. But of course, when you're in fear, right, you're not connected. You know, you're just, vayanu, vayamdu, merachok. They ran the other way. They were in fear. But one, you need to have the fear to give the Torah the proper awe and respect, because it's God's wisdom. And as much as you know of Torah, you still don't even chop like the smallest chelk of what it really is, because it's God's wisdom. So on the one hand, you got to treat the Torah with that type of seriousness. But on the other hand, Torah was mamish given to the point you could have geschmack in it and enjoy it. Eat it up. Eat it up. Right? And that we find in Lashon Chazal also, Arevim Kenesinasam. The Amara said a shear, so sweet, like matan Torah. Sweet, wait, over there they were scared to death. It's both. Matan Torah has a duality to it. Because Torah, mitzad, its essence is something to be in awe of, to be awed and scared of. It's God's words, it's God's wisdom, it's from the Ein Sof. Right? And you have to treat it that way. You have to have the cognizance that this is not Stam law. This is not the stuff you learn in college. This is from Shemayim. Not just Stam from Shemayim. It's from God himself. The angels would have wanted it for themselves. Right? So you have to have that relationship to Torah. Right? But you also have to have another relationship to Torah. It came down to me, and I can take it, and I can understand it, and I can enjoy it, and I can internalize it. No less than food. No less than food. And that's the side, that Olam Haba, which is all about the Gilui of Torah, and just enjoying that Ziv Hashem, which is Giluyim, new Giluyim of Torah. It's called Suda. Hakom Mitzukan La Suda. Right? And now what's one of the Ramazim to Olam Haba is in this week's parsha. Margla b'fun Rav Olam Haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia el tzikim yoshvim v'atosem b'roshem v'nem mishir shenemar v'yechsu es alokim v'yochlu v'yishtu. They see God and they eat and drink. So it's unfortunately explained. Rav has an entry on it in Mor Nevuchim. Ochal, you take in. They just take it in. They eat it up, man. They eat up that ziv hashchina. They internalize it and love it like a good food and good drink. That's why Olam Haba is called a Suda. We're just internalizing Torah. That's the whole geshmak of Olam Haba. Right? Matan Torah was both. In a way that we can't imagine, it was both experiences simultaneously. A experience of awe and fear. Right? Keneged the greatness of Torah. Right? But it was also a view of like Tanug, a raven kinesinosam, like eating a good steak, like, better than you use it. Right? The geshmak of that Torah came down to me and could become one with me. Right? There was that also. In a way that we just can't imagine. Both experiences happen simultaneously but can't be written in the same parsha. Because when you're describing one, you're not describing the other.
So we always talk about internalizing our learning. Internalizing the learning. Yes. I always talk about it. As I say, you can learn and learn and learn and never internalize it. It never changes you as a person.
Right.
When you internalize it, it's like food. It changes you as a person.
Right. That's right.
You don't want to chazer food, though.
You have to eat it slowly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what you eat on Sunday and Monday, right? Right. That's chazer.
The animals have several.
It should have cut.
Right. Anyway. That's just what we eat on Sunday and Monday. It's chazar, right?
So the idea of buying chazar is every time to refresh it. So it's like...
No, so this is an amazing thing, right? That the... as Parshas Yisro is the Bechina of Matan Torah of Eim Avir Reses Vizeya, Kenega the Etzem of Torah, and you have to never forget the godless satira, that it's Novlos Chokma Shomala. Never lose sight of that and always therefore be in awe and fear. Right? Otherwise you're not properly appreciating what Torah really is. But then there's the other aspect that could be taught to us and made understood to us after we're taught Dinei Mamonis. I mean, the Torah could explain to us the other aspect after Dinei, that Heyos, the term Mamish came down up to the level of Dinei Mamonis to the point that the Yom has a base achizer. So now you could this thing that's awesome and scary, you could enjoy and internalize and make mamash part of you.
That's the nishma.
Oh, right. Yeah. And that's nishma. That's the difference between nasa and nishma. Nasa, I obey. I don't need to understand what I'm doing. I just got to obey. You know, just shut up and do what you're told. Then there's Nishma, that I not just stam Nishma is to hear it with the ears, but Nishma to hear the Kol HaTorah, to hear the sound, the music, not to just to hear the dictate. The tzivui is dibur, right? The dictate. But then there's hearing the music, the timing. And that's how you can have Nishma after Nasa, right? To just stam obey, you're only hearing the words. The Nishma is on the Kol. And I'll prove it to you from the pasuk that Chazal bring. Chazal say that a remez to Am Yisrael is like the Machaner Magdim Nasa Nishma is from the pasuk in Tehillim. Baruch Hashem Malachav, Giborei Koach, Osei Dvaro, they do what he says, right? That's Nasa. Lishmoa Bekol Dvaro. The Shmi is on the Kol of the Dvaro. You hear the music. You hear the music of the Torah. And that's a higher level that comes even after being. That's a pasuk in the. It's in one of the Baruch Hinafshis in Sefer Torah.
I'm still.
Right? It's in Torah. Pasuk in Torah. The Shmoa Bekoil Dvar, the Nishma, and the Zar Chazadar Nasav Nishma. But the Nishma is on the Koil. Not just I'm hearing the words. The words you heard already to in order to obey. The Shmia is on the higher level. You hear the music. You hear, like, the tone, like the Omek HaMachshava that's belied, that's revealed through the tone. That's the Nishma. You hear the timing. You hear the timing. And that's the Soid, by the way, what Chazal tell us, right? That the Torah came down first as one Koil. That broke up into seven koilas, and then it broke up into the shivim l'shinus. Torah is batsam koil; it's pure thought. Then it's nitstamtzim into dibur. But even when it's nitstamtzim into dibur, like we cut down sound to make words, but the Torah still kept its melody, even though it got cut down to words. It's b'mahus koil, pure thought, pure tam. And just got nitstamts in the dibur, but when it got nitstamts in the dibur, it still has tamim. It never lost the music. But it says in Parshat Vayechol, roim eskos, they see those sounds. So al pi darkenu, they see them, but they don't hear them. Because you're standing from afar. From afar, you don't hear. You're standing far away. You see it from afar. Deve'anu ve'amdu merachok, roim esakoylos. But in the aspect of Parshat Mishpatim, after we see the Mishpatim, and how the Torah was nislabish on a level, in a level that's on par with Sechol Enoshis, which gives us a handle on Torah, a handle that we use to climb to all in Yonei Torah. So we, after Mishpatim, we could have a view the Torah in retrospect differently. That Vayechsu es Elokim, Vayochel Vayishtu. Right? They're mamish eating and drinking. That we touch, eating and drinking conceptually. They were just taking in the shefa. Like food, because Torah Mamash reached a level that was congruent for the Kalim of the Adam to be Makabo, which is the greatest example of that is Dine Mamadis. That's where it reaches Mamash in Yonei Adam, and that's why Svara has so much a role to play in Dine Mamadis. Right? And as a result, after this, we could have another view the Torah could teach us about that aspect of Matan Torah. Like taking it in like food, right? And in preparation for that madrega, you can't tell me nase v'nishma in Parshat Yisroel. Only the nase, because we're only roim eskos. We don't hear that koil. The nishma of lishma b'kol devaro. That belongs to the parsha, the chelik of the aspect of matan Torah. That's nizgala in Parshas Mishpatim. The aspect of how when God gave it, He really gave it. Like varas nosav ne'adam, that was the way matan Torah was, and you could mamish hear the music with nasa. You could obey it, osei dvaro, but also lishma b'kol devaro. You could hear the music behind those words. The maitaima, the tamei anigun, kishulchan aruch muchan lechol, and that's why nasa v'nishma. Of how you can not just obey Torah, but hear it, enjoy the music of it, internalize it, belongs to the aspect of Matan Torah, the Parshas Mishpatim.